say it again? Okay, meeting come to order. The October 1st meeting of the Clean Water Commission is now in order. And before we get into the agenda, we have an announcement. And that is that our beloved chairman wrote a letter of resignation today. And latest count, he wants to stay on the commission, but he feels like his schedule is overwhelming him now, and he really can't afford to be the chair. And so another piece of information that Earl shared with me is that this commission, this body, regularly elects the chair and the vice chair in November. So we have a decision to make. Number one is that if you would like for me to be the chair pro tem to the November elections, I'll be willing to do that. Or we can throw it open and we can elect a new chair and a new vice chair.
Just a suggestion, Gary. To me, that's business.
That's right.
So if we've started the meeting, then perhaps we should do the roll call so we know here we can establish.
Well, I'll do that.
For discussion.
Okay. But I just wanted to open that. We'll get to that. So, but because I'm, you know, ahead of the agenda, and the roll call is part of the agenda. So with that, let's just do the roll call. And Jim Carlson is absent. Gary Schaefer here. Rob McKinney. Absent. David Meyer?
Here.
Brian Peck? Absent. Susan Rasmussen?
Here.
Dick Rylander?
Here.
Virginia Brandt Van Bremen?
Here.
Did I pronounce it right?
Sure.
Okay.
It means from Bremen.
Oh, okay. Mike Scrooge is from Bremen. Melanie Wheeler is absent. So we have a quorum. And before we get into the packet, though, I would like to have a discussion. Would you like for me to remain the chair through November, or would you like to elect a new chair?
From my point of view, if the norm or the history has been to do it in November, then we have but 1 month left. And I would suggest that we should let all commission members know that such an activity would occur at the November meeting so that hopefully we get as complete a group of people as possible, not just a bare quorum.
Exactly.
Right. So the answer is, from my standpoint, that this would be this and then the start of the next meeting until we conduct that activity. I have no issue with Gary, with you continuing personally.
But just carry on.
Okay, let's just put it to a vote. All in favor of me continuing till the next month?
Question. There is no, I mean, if you are the vice chair at this point in time, correct?
Right.
Our chair, pending his either resignation or stepping down notice, et cetera, is not in attendance. I'm not sure I understand there's anything to vote on.
We have received his.
Okay, but you are the vice chair, so you step into that role.
Right, you're fulfilling your duty.
I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if I was serving.
Earl, is that correct? Is there nothing to vote on, is there?
Well, there is a vote on it. I would like to just make sure that you all were in agreement to step into the chair position. So, if hearing no dissension, will consider it to be unanimous, then that I will be the pro tem chair through November. So,
Mr. Vice Chair, just a quick comment from staff that for the November timing, the election is in November, but it's for the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So the term of the office's position goes through the year. So when we say through November, we should be actually saying through the end of the year.
Okay.
Sure, well, unless something comes up in December, November is our last meeting of the year.
Right. So, okay. So we'll continue on with that. We'll start with the packet.
Okay.
And Earl will get into the packet with us, and go ahead. Take the floor.
Item 1 in your agenda is tonight's agenda for October 1. Item 2, meeting notes from September 3rd. Item 3 is the materials that the task force put together. Item 4 is the materials that Dick Rylander put together. And that's it for tonight's packet.
Okay. So, do we need to go through, has everybody read the meeting minutes summary from last week, or from last meeting?
Yeah.
Do we need to go through that?
I would move to approve the minutes, unless there's...
Okay.
I have no questions, I second.
Okay, second. Moved and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous? Been approved. Minutes have been approved. So, public comments. Does anybody... Interactions with the community that they would wish to share with the commission at this time? If not, we'll put Tom at this time.
In the past...
Please go ahead.
In the past, this group, when people did not appear time after time, there were procedures. And if people not present here tonight have not sought excuse or have spoken to the chairman, the vice chairman, or the Earl at least, not the very least, but there should be some sort of notification.
It has been.
And if we have chronic situation of lack of attendance, there are people out there who would like to be on. And I think that we would be best served by having people that wanted to be here serving here. I would also like people to ask at some time someone from the Legacy Lands Program or staff here to talk about the relation of the Legacy Lands Program to the Clean Water Program. And they may seem dissimilar, but they fit together in many ways integrally. And I would hope that you might look into that interrelation. And as a final point, I wanted to ask, is there anyone here that wrote DOE FI urgings at the last meeting?
I'm afraid I did not.
I thank you. Yes. I just wanted to find if anybody had. I have written them also, and I have received no answer either. But I was just hoping that maybe you people genuinely felt that this was something that you might want to do. It might be important. Thank you very much.
Todd, before you step away, could you just answer for me what the Legacy Lands Program is? I'm not familiar with that.
The Legacy Lands Program is a consortium of a number of different parks. It serves parks. It serves the Clean Water Commission. It serves open space and a variety of different values. They have a yearly, it's not a bond, it's a they tax to the effect that they have $2 million a year that goes into this fund. And they try to buy new lands. And some of the lands they're buying are riparian areas. Some of them are future lands for parks, and they it was thought, I was one of the commissioners on it back in the 1990s, and when we put it together, there was a lot of controversy, and people were, their oxes were being gouged by the new regulation that was occurring that was limiting what people could do when they lived close to a stream. And it was thought that this would compensate some of those landowners to some degree and would at the same time protect these lands and be able to advance the needs of regulatory clean water.
So how is it going, you know, like the forest street at 250 feet from the creek and all that, how is it going to help them?
Well, by buying land that is buffer to buffer, it is possible to have it in very long rotations or to not cut the wood or the buffer close to the stream at all. And in that way, you could have some mitigation for temperature. You'd be able to shade the stream. And that is one of the ways. There's a lot of other ways. Also, in order to build trails, it's necessary to have, along the stream, you have to have deceptive land, and some of it went towards projects like that. But it's a very, very important program because it, to the lake, Vancouver Lake, for instance, the ability to have a trail about it makes it so that people come and recreate there. And that potentially in the future, if we want to improve that at the cost of the community and ask the community to incur this cost, that we will be able to have backing for that. And if we don't get people involved with these lands, with these water values, it's hard to make it seem important enough for them to tax themselves. But that's what the legacy lands is.
Okay.
But it's very important. I hope that you might talk to Ron and people of his department on it because it does directly relate to what you're doing.
You're right. And I've often wondered what legacy lands is. And thank you for educating us about it. I know I've heard of that many times, and I really did not know what you were involved in.
Well, I've just scratched the surface and I've not done it justice. Thank you.
No, before we leave, I have a comment. I sit down and review the minutes where you have brought up the subject about writing the state about the problems with the lake and the, you know, nutrients and stuff like that. And in it, you mentioned that there was a court order or there was a law in place that required them to do that cleanup?
TMDL, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, I did not know what TMDL was, so I was thrown to that. But the reason I didn't write it anything was that, first of all, I did not know the specifics of what the law was. You know, I did not, you know, and I felt like it, if the law was being violated, it should probably the DES who should be writing that letter because they have a specific, you know, legal obligation to work with the environmental laws of the state and federal government. And so that was probably the main reason I didn't write it because I didn't know the specifics on what I would be asking them to do.
Well, you know, to find out more, you know, so that it's not coming from me, you know, because I am an advocate, and if you want to be impartial in representing yourself, you can find out a lot about it by going to the DOE website and looking at their clean water program, and you can see there the TMDL programs. And they'll tell you exactly what they are.
As a private citizen, we can all weigh in.
I understand that. I just
not as a commission, but as a part of the
system. I just like to have the materials at hand that substantiate my case if I'm going to write a letter. That's all
okay.
I'm saying.
Well, I hope. Thank you very much.
Can I ask you a question real quick? I was at the work session this morning when Don was there and and they were discussing the new requirements coming down from ecology and how they were they have a new schedule for the creeks and streams.
Right.
And are you aware of the new requirements for the buffering on those streams?
Yes.
How do you feel about it?
I feel that it's still inadequate.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're looking at offering thermal relief and as you know how long a shadow is.
Right.
So you need to have it so that it has to be pretty tall. We're talking about trees that are going to have to be over 120 feet high to get across the stream because we have a fairly wide stream plus banks plus open areas where trees can't establish themselves.
Now, so I understand for folks that are under forestry, they have to leave. I've been talking to a landowner, and
very large buffer shifts.
He had to leave over $10,000 worth of timber.
Right. But, this is the only way it works.
Yeah. I didn't know that Legacy
and it's going to be more and more all the time, and yeah. Legacy would help him.
Okay.
That's what it was dreamed up for. That was one of the rationalizations for the program. And they're also lacking. You might check the Legacy Lands program. They're looking for agriculture, farmers that want to get into the Legacy Lands program. They will buy your development rights. They have a special program that they're trying to work up right now with the farm community. I was talking to Mr. Lee about that. It sounded very, very interesting, but I know a lot of farmers depend upon their land to borrow against as part of their farm business plan,
right.
And that would interfere with that. But you might want to talk to them about that.
And I see other counties, implementing these TDRs. Yeah, I don't see folks getting on board with that yet in our county. Farmers and I don't know, we just don't have a program for that.
Can you define TDR?
Transfer development
rights? Yeah, right. It's really kind of, the other counties that have is King County.
Yeah.
That's done it successfully. But there's not a lot of people fighting to get into the program, and they're finding it difficult to find farmers to use the program.
That's what I've seen. I see a lot of skepticism in the ag community.
I have skepticism. But, Mr. Lee, it doesn't have to run like the King program.
Okay.
Don't confuse what Clark County is going to do with, because they have some problems. This is new. It can, we can solve those things.
Virginia and I can have coffee with you and talk about
that. That would be very good.
Yes. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Was there any other acronyms in there that need to be verified for the minutes?
The TDR is what I had, so
thank you. Okay.
If I could make a quick comment for the commission, just because it's still relatively new. I manage the Clean Water Program. I also manage the Legacy Lands Program. I work with Pat Lee to do that. And so I also, as Tom knows, I've worked with Tom for a long time. I'm the county's representative on the Vancouver Lake Partnership. We also are the lead for the county in coordinating TMDLs, or total maximum daily loads. So we're sort of one-stop shopping. If you want our input or have questions about what we're doing in any of these areas, feel free to give me a call. And you can either talk to me or talk to anyone on our programs for more information.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Well, with that, we're moving into the presentation discussion, recommended data action program. So with that, David, did you want to take over and do the presentation on the task force plan?
You bet. Thank you. Let's go ahead, if you can, and go to the document in your packet. It's two pages. Second page, or the back of the second page, has a little pretty process flow diagram on it. And so, just to roll it back a little bit, a couple of months ago, when Commissioner Benton addressed the group, and prior to the time that the commissioners voted on the proposal for the storm to address the stormwater fee deficit, there have been some comments made and some discussion about the litter fee, which was actually turned back by the commissioners, if I'm not mistaken, with the instructions that they conduct a more thorough evaluation of where the potential where a potential stormwater fee could come from. At that point, I volunteered, and we all agreed that we would address, begin to look at what our expectations were so that we could advance those recommendations back to Mr. Benton and his team. So for the last month, we've met twice, as recently as Monday night, and that included myself and Gary, Virginia, and Rob McKinney, to look at, in a little bit more detail, the data that Earl had pulled together on water quality information that had been collected by the county over the last dozen or so years. And that would provide some basis for our concerns that there may be some data gaps that may need to be filled. So the basic scope of our group was to identify where, if there were data gaps in supporting information to develop that stormwater fee adjustment, and then to provide to the county recommendations for resolving those gaps. We looked at what the requirements were to meet the MS4 NPDES requirements, and Earl reminded us that there are several legs to that, including, in addition to monitoring, including education, capital construction, enforcement, and administration. And it required collection of water quality data as well, and through various different land uses. And my thinking was is that we wanted to make sure that whatever water quality was being collected, or water quality data that was being collected, had a significant a reasonable spatial distribution and was representative of the various different land uses within the county. And so when we looked 2 weeks ago at the data, took a little bit closer look, it really affirmed that there's just a wealth of water quality data that is available, mainly to support an evaluation of stream and biological health. The water quality summary basically showed trends from various different locations within the county that was fairly representative of the various different watersheds and the land uses. I think everyone agreed that the depth of the water quality data, no pun intended, that was collected was not as comprehensive as one would hope. But it was within the limits of what was required by law, and it was also within the limits of the budget that was available to the county. So I think, I'd like to go on the record by saying that the county's done a great job at collecting and collating and evaluating and documenting water quality data. And it paints a very accurate picture, I think, of where water quality is within different regions of the county. That being said, we saw that there were some potential gaps in relation to what was being advanced by the department in terms of where the potential sources of funding might come from to support a fee, particularly around the issue of solid waste debris. And so we decided to develop a process flow, which we reviewed on Monday night, and that's in the package as well. And that, again, this process flow is intended to meet three basic objectives. One, that the county continues to comply with regulations, the rules and regulations. Support the county's objectives to satisfy the Clean Water Fund deficit that we all recognize exists right now. And then to offer our input to improve the methods and approaches, or at least make some suggestions about approaches to address some of the data gaps, so that the ultimate, at the end of the evaluation, that the water quality data is sufficient enough to provide some sort of equitable solution to support the development of a stormwater fee. So there are some outstanding questions, which Commissioner Schaefer had brought up, related to how the future fee structure might align with anticipated growth projections within the county and future water supply needs too. And I think that's valid. It's a valid consideration to consider as the county moves forward and evaluates this fee structure. So in essence, the two meetings, the key findings were that there are data gaps in how solid waste debris in the county drainage and waterways is currently quantified. The breadth and depth of the water quality data do meet the minimum requirements under the permit, but it's recognized that additional data would be valuable and highly supportive in establishing that equitable and defensible fee strategy, and that it's recognized that also that the additional data collection might be expensive and it could be very time consuming. So we recommend that the department identify options to obtain existing and new additional data through outreach to other Clark County jurisdictions and other special services educational institutions and state agencies. The process flow that I'm presenting here, that's in all these pretty colors that I muted a little bit so that we could actually read it, starts with this gap analysis. And I've started, we started by doing that within our own group. But we believe, too, that that the department, when this goes back to the department after the budgeting process is complete, that they, again, start to screen the water quality data and the summary that was developed over the last 12 years, the 2000 to 2012 period, against the 1999 and 2014 stormwater criteria. We would like them to confirm the spatial watershed and land use types to determine if there's any missing areas that could be missed. And then from that information, that would help them to identify, in addition to what we've identified, any further data gaps. And to develop that work plan and consider watershed and land use options as part of a way to supplement the existing data. I strongly believe that in order to do this in a way that doesn't get too expensive or time consuming, that there are some value-added partners that we could and should reach out to, including the local colleges, as well as local school districts and possibly even Waste Connections, to help to identify the data gaps and marshal some inexpensive resources, hungry students that want to actually do some water quality investigation and possibly design a program that would help to resolve the solid waste data gap as well. And I can talk about that in more detail if there's questions. The third step, of course, is the data collection and analysis. And what we recommend is once that additional data is collected, to do a risk-based assessment of where there are high, moderate, and low-risk contributors to stormwater quality impacts. And this is all driving towards a defensible fee if the fee is going to be assessed against certain types of activities. And then ultimately back to where the DES was a few months ago in developing recommendations for what those fee options would be. At that point, I'm recommending, and the group recommended that public workshops be conducted similar to the 1999 model that was utilized by identifying key stakeholders, conducting workshops in the rural as well as urban clusters, as well as vetting business and industrial sector as well. That also includes commercial sector. And then from that information that's collected at these rounds, then DES develops the final recommendations. We'll then bring them back, I presume, to us as a group for us to then act upon and make recommendations and advance that forward to the Board of Commissioners. So that's essentially the process that we're recommending be done. And at this point, I'd like to actually open it up to other members of the task force and see whether or not I may have misinterpreted anything or missed any thoughts in this process.
One thing that we did discuss is that stormwater discussion should not be the only discussion as far as how we provide our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren with good, clean water and environment into the future. There's more than just stormwater involved in this. It's you have issues such as the septic systems and the cost benefit ratio of eliminating some areas that have particularly old areas and put them into the system. Maybe a meeting with the various department heads of DES or other county or city agencies to see what we need to do to work together on a comprehensive clean water program. These are just kind of stars. They're not part of this thing, but these were outgrowths of our discussions that I think are valuable because if we don't, we can't do it in a vacuum ourselves. We need to have an overall view and the involvement of all the various stakeholders in this arena of providing a future clean water supply for our future generations. So that's one thing. But that, of course, is getting the department heads together or something like that is beyond our scope. These were just points that fell out of our discussions that there's more to future generation clean water than just stormwater.
Well, I think it's fair to say that any of us would be more than willing to meet with Director Benton and any of the other members of the team as we move forward to make sure they're aware of what we're recommending here and there aren't any questions or uncertainties there. Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, we need to wind up with a comprehensive environmental clean maintenance program that certainly includes clean water for the future generations.
That's the bottom line.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
If I recall correctly, the request was that by no later than our November meeting, that this group come back with specific recommendations on actions, pollutants, potential fee associated activities. Were we tasked back in November?
We were tasked to review the data that was available and make specific recommendations where we felt comfortable in doing so and to recommend a process that would be open, transparent, and could lead to an equitable stormwater fee solution, but not to come up with a fee itself.
No, not necessarily a fee, but I've been working under perhaps a misunderstanding that they were looking for us to come back and say, well, here are some types of water pollution factors mm-hmm. that would be on a priority list that would then be the focus such that in time for the commissioners to act this next year, mm-hmm. that they would have items. So I understood that we were tasked to do that by the November time frame.
We were tasked to do that by the November time frame. And in terms of the data that we looked at, there's really only one missing parameter that's typical in terms of identifying the health or the well-being of water quality, and that's solid waste.
Okay.
And debris. Because, it's important, and Earl reminded us, that there are only certain requirements under the NPDES standard that the county is required to monitor to. And so the various different types of nutrients, the minerals, the pH, fecal coliforms, those types of issues were already monitored. And there were actually demonstration sites that were established by the county in different areas that were representative of the three primary land uses as well. So I think that it was fairly comprehensive, but one of the missing items and the one issue that became a lightning rod of discussion was related to lip and solid waste. And solid waste can come in many, many different forms. And then, as you know, we had this discussion at the last general meeting here about septic systems. And we went around and around and realized that while it's an issue, it's something that's out of the purview of this group and of environmental services. It's a public health issue. And that's not to say it shouldn't be factored in somehow. And that might be subject of a discussion between the two different departments as to whether or not that whole issue around septic systems and how they have the potential, possibly in a failure mode, to impact water quality should be addressed.
Well, let me be clear. I'm not attempting at all to criticize at all.
It's a
process, and it flows their timing and a number of steps. I'm just trying to make sure that if we have any other near-term deliverable or deliverables, that we're attentive to those. That was my only concern.
David, your comment about the missing gap is right on. In my years here, I don't think we've ever had a discussion about litter or what ends up. Well, we knew what ends up in the gutters a little bit, because of our required street sweeping. But we've never had a real discussion on litter, as far as I know. Earl, do you remember anything?
Well, we've had discussions about what goes into systems.
Right.
But what we were talking about back in those days, and even today, is when the folks that do the maintenance of our systems, I'm talking about stormwater systems, all the the ponds and stuff like that, drywalls, what comes out of those. I've talked to the guy who does that, and what he said basically is plastics, some wrappers, litter in the form of, not newspapers, but litter in the form of basically candy wrappers and stuff like that. That's what he was saying that comes out.
And
we're a good example.
It's an important aspect, because not only does it have an impact on labor resources within the county, but it has the potential to impact the functioning capability of these water treatment systems, of the stormwater systems themselves. So it's an important factor, but what is not known is what constitutes this trash. Yeah. And one of the concerns that I had was that the Caltrans study that we had been presented and that Director Fenton talked about from California was the one document that they were using at that point to evaluate what the potential impacts might be from litter. And while that's good information, it's, in my opinion, professional opinion, it's anecdotal, and it's also a 10-year-old, 12-year-old study. And if there, if we could find some information that's closer to home, and even find an opportunity to collect data that's right here in our county, inexpensively, using value-added partners to collect that data, I think the county stands to benefit from that.
I think, Dick, what your question is I kind of read you in the line, is did we really have an opportunity to take a look at the data and make sure that, you know, we understood what the open gaps were and that we were prepared to make solid recommendations for the county DES. And one of the things, we went through 10 pounds of data.
I mean, I read all of California stuff, line by line. All of the summary stuff.
Okay. 2012 monitoring summary and all of these things to be careful that we were not just skipping over and making random thoughts.
My bigger concern is that if there was a different expectation on what we were supposed to deliver by the November time frame, to be cognizant of that. That's my only, no problem with the start and the direction it's going, anything else. I just want to make sure we're not missing a deliverable.
That's fair. I think we reality checked what we were doing with Earl. And yeah, I believe that right in now. Hopefully you agreed, sir, that we were on pace.
I agree with part of what you're doing, but I can't agree for everything, so.
Okay. Is there anything that you disagree with?
Is it your interpretation we have deliverables that we're not delivering on?
If
there are expectations on something that we were supposed to come back with in that time frame, are we not doing that?
So
I think Ron has some ideas.
If I may just make a comment. I don't know. I wasn't here when Don was at the meeting and I read the minutes about what was being asked of the commission. I think the crux is for this group to discuss an equitable fee structure. We have an existing fee structure. We've had that structure since 1999. It was based on discussions with the community and is similar to what other fee structures are in this state and others. But the question that the Board of County Commissioners has asked us is, are we missing something in that fee structure? Are we missing something that we could more directly tie pollution and stormwater runoff to the people that are polluting or the causes of those pollution, or more closely tie the cost of removing that pollution from runoff, which is the money our program needs to spend? So it's all kind of around this fee structure. It's really a question about what is in stormwater runoff, and you have to kind of sort out the difference between what is in streams, which to Gary's point, there's a lot of things that influence what's in a stream, part of the stormwater runoff, but there's a lot of other land uses that have impacted streams, or what is in stormwater runoff. And I don't know, I need to talk to Earl a little bit about what data you guys have seen, but we have collected extensive data required by the permit on what's in stormwater runoff.
Yeah.
As in the catch basins.
That's actually in the law. That's what we did in the three land uses, low density residential, high density residential, and commercial. And we continue to do extensive testing. We spent $1 to $2 million on it because our permit makes us do it. But we kind of know what's in stormwater runoff. We know what the pollutants are. We haven't focused much on solid waste or floatables or trash or what those things are. Kind of because you know what it is. I mean, it's when we go out and work with school children and we take them out to streams, they talk about what, when we ask them later what is the biggest impact on streams, they say litter. And they say that because they can see it.
Yeah.
But you can't see metals and you can't see pesticides and you can't see organics. And if you talk about the highest cost to our program of removing pollutants, removing litter from our system is a fraction of the cost of us to remove dissolved metals. So these are the sort of things that I think, you know, we can work on and you guys deliberate on. of the equitable fee structure. It's all about the fee structure.
I think that Ron and Earl, thank you so much. Really appreciate your all your help. I think, you know, we've gone through, and I believe that we have, in our minds, satisfied the request to the point of giving you something to analyze and saying, well, we have enough, or we need another task force meeting. So with that, I would like for you to take this, what the task force has provided, look it over, and determine if you see any other points that we've missing. I mean, you have the engineers and people. We're here to make recommendations, basically, and that's what we've done. So with that, I'd like to move off of this item and go on to the final item, which is...
We
have to act on this.
Yeah, I mean, we have over an hour left to conduct one other item, which probably won't take 15 or 20 minutes.
Oh, you're right.
At the top.
Oh, my God.
We're under time restraints with this, too. So we need to run.
Yeah, that's my point. That's my whole concern here. Is I just want to make sure that we're delivering.
My question is for the manager. Are you talking to the commission now, or are you talking to everybody in this room?
I'm talking to everybody in this room. You know, when we deliberated on this, I believe we've gone as far as I thought we could go, you know, on the recommendation process. And so here is our recommendations. So if you would like to, I understand your point, Dick. We could formalize this, and we said, you know, here is our official recommendations, and deliberate on them and reopen the question if you need more.
Well, I guess my concern is that, tell me if I'm wrong, right? Is that this is good and it's a piece of it. What I'm hearing, Ron, is that we're not delivering on what they were looking for that we would deliver on. Frank?
No, I'm not saying that. I get that point. I think, you know, part of it is the process, and I see the process. I mean, the recommendation to go through a process like this to help us get to some sort of fee structure that's tied to pollutants in some way. What we can do with what Gary's talking about, take a look at this and say whether or not we can follow this process and get there. I mean, that's something that we can look at.
But let me kind of distill it down. We basically looked at the data and said there is limited solid waste data out there. If there's any data gap, there's limited solid waste data. And if the county wants to advance a stormwater litter fee, then they need to have defensible data to be able to back that up. Otherwise, you're going to run into a buzzsaw saw again. They will hear on this commission, and I will leave that buzzsaw on the record, because they can't assess a litter fee if they don't have defensible data. So our recommendation is that they go back, find a way to collect some additional data that's more than just anecdotal information. And in doing so, our recommendation also is to develop that fee, which we really don't have the capability here to make a recommendation as to what that fee should be. At this point in time, until we vet that recommendation that the county comes up with through the public again, just like we did in 1999. That's the second piece. But there should be some public input to this process by the individuals that could possibly be affected. So that's the essence of what our recommendation is. Collect more solid waste data, use that to supplement the existing data, and then present that in a series of recommendations back to us in condition. And then have a public process.
And also, Dick, until they've had a chance to assess this and come back with us and talk to us about it, I'm not really willing to maybe, you know, say this is the official position of the board?
No, I'm not asking for that. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm just trying to make sure that we are going in the direction either we need to or expected to, or that we're
so that's
not running
off
on a tangent.
Let's let DES take an opportunity to review it, talk about it, and then if they need more, we can go back and have another task force meeting, and you're welcome to join us if you'd like.
Actually, let's make sure we're keeping this within the quorum, because we ran into, I'll say this right now, when Jim was here, we talked about a number of people attending that meeting, task force, we have five, and we have five, we have a quorum. We can't do that.
It has to be a public meeting then.
It becomes a public meeting, so we have to have everybody in this room available. So we only can have four in that task force.
Don was very relieved to find out that we only had three members. So anyway, if that's acceptable to the county, we'll leave that with you for study, and we'll...
Susan had a comment.
Oh, I'm sorry, Susan.
About the quality of the data for the solid waste, is there... We don't have anything... present right now in the county
that
we use on that?
Not from the data that was provided to us. There's, and I think Ron probably supplement that.
The Caltrans study, while it's old and is not from here, is the most comprehensive study that I could find. They spent millions of dollars on analyzing the waste stream to figure out what they could put into their system to get it out most effectively. That was the intent. So they had to characterize what solid waste is by count, by volume, so that they could, when they install something,
right,
it's going to do the best job getting it out. There really hasn't been, I mean, litter's kind of old news, just to, you know, put it in simple terms. So lately there has not been a lot of study in stormwater systems. You can find some studies here and there, and we have not analyzed the solid waste stream.
But Earl mentioned earlier that the folks that go out there and take up those big filters, and well, no, we hired that out, don't we?
Well, what I was talking about is there's a fellow who works at the decant facility that collects all those stuff, and they look at what's in that water and the soil, and they make a determination, and they weigh it, so on and so forth. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But that's not the same as what Ron's talking about.
So there may be a way to inexpensively capture some of that.
I'm wondering if we can do work within what we have.
Exactly. But you made an interesting point, and this may come back to demonstrate whether or not a litter fee is appropriate or not. When you say that the cost to handle solid waste from a water quality perspective is really only a fraction of the expense the county goes through dealing with the other
guests. I don't actually know that number.
And if I were Batman, you're probably right, because trying to remove heavy metals and other pollutants that you can't see is very, very expensive on water treatment facilities. I know that.
The city that has done some studies, they have amount of man hours it is costing them to clear our pumps within their sewage treatment and stormwater system.
You're exactly right, and that's a factor that has to be brought into consideration as well. So that may actually support the county's belief that there should be some sort of litter fee, for lack of a better word, just using what the county has advanced so far. So that's what we want to know. We want to at least make the best effort to try to quantify wherever possible with the resources that we have. That's what we're doing. And then that would give the department a better basis for determining where, if any, fee should be levied. And as Ron had said, determine, tie more closely in what's in the stormwater with the activity that's occurring, and where that activity is occurring from.
The note I made to myself several times here was, help me understand, when I hear the term litter, but I think of contaminated water, okay? There's got to be a continuum. So what I'm hearing here is there's the stuff that's on the side of the road that we see that's visual, that water may leach through and into the soil and into the streams and this and that. But I'm also hearing there's the areas where it's caught, catch basins, whatever the facilities are, where somebody has to go in and remove the stuff that's accumulated because it's affecting flow and affecting water. Then there are those things that are probably much less visible that are the metals, the pesticides, the
petroleum.
Petroleum. Material from tires gets left on the roadway and washed. I mean, what all of these different things are. So there's just probably these groupings of things. So I'm trying to clarify or understand for myself, separate out the things that are really not affecting water quality very much, but maybe have a different cost impact on the system because they actually accumulate, have to be cleaned, and that has other implications.
And has maintenance.
But if that's X percent of the cost, it's all labeled under clean water, okay?
Right.
And it's whatever the percentage is, 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever it is, for sort of keeping the bags and cups and whatever cleaned out versus what do you have to do to assure that you could actually drink that water, that fish could live in the water, et cetera. So I'm not necessarily expressing myself well, but I need to understand these pieces.
Yeah.
And how they fit.
Go ahead, Cindy. You have something to say.
I think I see what you're saying. Is there any way to put a monetary figure on what Dick is saying? Say it's costing us this much money to take out this litter, plastic bags or whatever that damage our the equipment and
And to what degree do those? Does the water seeping through the cups, the plastic bags, the paper bags, the candy food wrappers, the whatever?
The leaves.
What impact does that have on the quality of the water versus the maintenance costs to keep things cleaned out so they don't get gunked up?
Dick, let me share with you something we talked about in the task force meeting. In this fee structure, getting back on point, we're talking about the fee structure. We have so much money that we have that is needed. We have to pay off the lawsuit. We have to cover the costs of the building and repair of the existing stormwater systems. And we have to also look at the costs that are necessary to, plan for future growth or cost benefits, if we eliminate so many septic systems, things like that. So it comes up into this bundle of money. Part of the money is the money that's given out, that is taxed for the impermeable service, costs, which are very low compared to what there are anyplace else. But we also have to cover the maintenance and the lawsuit and the other things that are in there. The thing that I think that we finally came down to is we recognize we have to cover all of these costs. In raising money, the only unknown that we had was solid waste and the effects on the system. Okay. So that's what we basically said to the county is that we feel that justifying any fees according, for stormwater recovery.
You want data?
We have to have a substantiation of the solid waste. And so, I believe Ron and Earl have also acknowledged that. So we're down to that one point of saying, here's what we have to do. We have to examine the solid waste impacts and the resulting maintenance and treatment costs that may be necessary to accomplish that. and that is our recommendation.
Okay. And where, I guess where I'm circling back to, and I got a very long way of getting there, is that those separations of the impact, you know, cleaning things out versus the actually affecting the water, the metals, the whatever else is in there that needs to be cleaned up, is also data, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm asking is, yes. Do we have that data? Because if we, or can we get to it? Can we separate and break those pieces out? Because if I'm a member of the public and it comes around time for the commissioners to say, we're going, staff makes recommendations, we make recommendations, mm-hmm. Et cetera, they come around, and to be defensible, right?
Right.
And then the community is going to say, well, I think they're going to ask some of these very same questions I am. How does it break down? What does it cost you to sort of maintain, keep things cleaned out, starting to close?
That's a good point.
And then, but what's it actually cost you to clean up, to make the water usable, to meet standards, et cetera? Or whatever the pieces are. I'm sure I'm not delineating them well, but I expect that the public, so really what I guess I'm saying is, I absolutely support the need for data. The question is, what do we have? What do we not have? I agree. And what do we need to gather? I agree. Uh-huh. To be able to not only make recommendations, but make it defensible.
Yeah, okay. Infrastructure maintenance.
I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah, for me, these questions I just asked are another piece of the puzzle to me.
So we have examined a broad depth of data, and that is our recommendation to the county to discover solid waste impacts, maintenance, and recovery costs.
So if
those as justification for whatever fee they choose to recommend to the Board of Commissioners.
Right? I mean, if it turns out in the end that, you know, it's either heavy metals, pesticides, fertilizers, whatever the sort of top five are, whatever those things are that are really affecting the quality of the water that need to be cleaned up, cleaned out, et cetera, what does it cost to do that? And where do those things come from? Right?
Well,
can you tax or focus the fees?
We have examined that data in the 2012 monitoring summary that was provided to us.
And
determined that although it's not 100%, it's within the range of being reasonable we've evaluated that data, and what we've come down to is the major gap is the solid waste diagram.
So, that being said, maybe we can modify this somewhat and just add in, collect missing data, including infrastructure maintenance costs and recovery costs.
Yes.
Call it the opportunity cost for good water quality. And then move this forward, modify this recommendation, and then send it on to the department for review. Because they had wanted this by November, because that's when they were going to start working on it.
And they still need some more time to digest what we've given them. Yeah.
So if the department can come back with whatever some additional information that helps, would this group then be expected or asked to evaluate that and make any recommendations or suggestions?
I think we have to wait to see what they come up with. I mean, I can't anticipate what they're going to come up with.
I believe that's what they were instructed to do by the commissioners. Ron, do you recall the timeline or the length of time that they were asked to...
Yeah, I want to say it's like May or June next year by that time. I could read the code, but, you know, around that time next year.
That's what I thought.
On the board to consider.
Okay. Which I think is plenty of time, including the possibility of having some rounds of public input.
Right.
And I say that that's really important because no one likes to get broadsided, you know. And there's a huge value. While it could be challenging to get through that process, I think at the end of the day, it has a lot of value to get public input, provide the public with an opportunity to understand a little bit more what the landscape looks like around this stormwater feed, and to come to some level of acceptance. You know.
So, if we can put ourselves in the shoes of the public, that would ask the questions at meetings or would evaluate the recommendations. I mean, you know, just we're John Doe citizens, and what questions would we ask and what would we want to know? And are we comfortable with the information we have that we would be satisfied?
And more than anything, it's an awareness building process.
Dave, I would really like to thank you for all the hard work and thought that you put into this.
Well, all of us have.
I think that we should entertain a motion to officially pass this recommendation on to the county, and then pending any other feedback that they give us, we can consider that as a new action item. Is anybody willing to entertain it, to make a motion?
I will. I would move that we advance the recommended strategy that we've developed with minor modifications, which I will make, to the county for consideration, and then request that if they believe they want to meet with us as a task force to ask any clarifying questions that we make ourselves available.
We have a second.
So that we can move that process forward.
I'll second that.
Okay. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So you passed unanimously, and so we'll consider that item closed. And by the way, Don, I want to tell you actually how much we appreciate the girl has just really, really dug in there and given us all the help. Almost overwhelming at times, you know, all the stuff we had to wade through, but it was wonderful, and I so much appreciate your department's help, particularly the girl, in his efforts to help us. So thank you. So we have one more item of business, and that's our good friend, our Commissioner Rylander, has come up with several options for us to discover, to deliberate on and choose as far as the projects. So, first of all, we talked about two projects on the list or three projects. I would like just a few moments of discussion on should we be doing two, or should we be doing three, or what? You know, what does the commission feel is appropriate?
Comment. Given the observation Earl made a couple minutes ago, which was still fresh in my mind, that we have nine commissioners. Presuming that all nine are involved on an ongoing basis, I have to work on that assumption. Mm-hmm. We could never have five on any given project because five would constitute a quorum.
Right.
So the maximum number of participants on any given project cannot exceed four. Okay. And if you have disagreements, dissension, you have to make a choice, an odd number is always preferable, so that a solution wins out, which suggests three as a target, but could go up to four people involved. Now, on that basis, if you want everybody involved and engaged, then I would suggest with nine that you have potentially three projects. It's logical. That's my Star Trek with Mr. Spock. It's logical. That would be my comment.
It computes on that.
Is there any other discussion?
The reason why I urged two rather than three at the last meeting was to do justice to what is being done with the watershed planning, and if we are to do justice to that as well, that is a third, that is the equivalent of one of these areas?
The list that you have before you was my attempt to take the notes from our discussion at the last meeting and to put them together. So I know you probably didn't get a chance to see email since we got out so late. That was my fault. But these were the items that came up, and so a couple of comments if I might. I'm going to presume to suggest that the project that we've just been discussing, led by David, certainly is one of the projects. And there have been a group of, what, you said four currently? People that have been participating?
Yeah. Up to four.
Up to four.
Yeah.
So that certainly would appear to qualify as one of the projects of the commission. You obviously would need to agree that that's the case, but it would logically presume. Now, the other one that was presented to county commissioners, as you recall, was Jim Carlson's swamp initiative program, and that was listed as one of the things that the commission would be undertaking through this next year. Given that Jim's circumstances, I think it's probably reasonable, Mr. Chairman, to discuss whether that continues or not. I guess I've been working on the assumption that it would anyway, only because it was presented, but we could disagree.
It's been adopted, I believe, by the county.
So that potentially is maybe almost a foregone conclusion as well. So we may already have two in place. So if we have a third one, and presuming we don't go beyond three, then it sort of becomes those numbers 3 through 8. Unless somebody has a suggestion or something that has since occurred to you. Does anybody have any?
Well, I have a comment, at least in looking down this list, now that I see it this way, I see that 3 and 8 really seem to be one and the same, or at least 8 can be incorporated into 3 because it involves education and collaborative effort kind of in outreach. So I could see those two being combined if that becomes that third option.
Would you expect number 7, the sort of top 5 pollutants, to actually come under your current project ultimately when there's sufficient data?
And I saw that too as a possibility that could be.
Here's what I would like to input into this discussion is the fact that, you know, we don't have the engineering staff, although with David here, it looks like we've gotten really close.
I'm not an engineer.
We've talked about our recommendations. We talked about swamp, which I believe has already been hit by the commissioners. I believe that public interface and education is really going to be our visible primary contribution to this whole publication, education, public involvement type thing, which is one of the things that I believe is charged with this commission. When it comes to things like plastic bags, well, we don't have the staff or the facilities or the tools and stuff like that to go out unless we want to go wading through the stream picking up the plastic bags or microbiological enhancement, which I think is important. But
I think it was the enhancement, I mentioned investigation, really.
So, I'm sorry, what?
It was the investigation. And it's hard to state it that way. It sounds awkward to call it a microbial enhancement. It's really more of an investigation.
Okay.
Or a study.
But I really think that the biggest contribution we can make is education forums and explaining what we found and, you know, what the basis of it is in public involvement.
So you're suggesting the 3 or the 3 and 8 or something like that is would be one of your preferences as a focus?
Well, we already have the swamp. We have...
If everybody agrees.
Yep, everybody agrees.
I view the swamp as a real, like an infrastructure project, an improvement. Mm-hmm. Much like the whole discussion around plastic bag impact mitigation, microbial investigation, well, those are more studies. And septic versus sanitary, we get into this gray zone as to how much control or influence we have over that, given that it's a public health driven type of activity. So I'm a little concerned about how much traction we might be able to get on that.
Well, we do not have staff. We do not have subject matter experts. We do not have tools or the ability to go out there and wade through the streams and things like that. That's the county has those facilities.
But what we do have is a voice to be able to go out and meet with various different groups.
Exactly.
That's the only thing on this list.
I think I mentioned that when I was being interviewed for this position, Commissioner Madore really felt strongly that public education and engagement with different groups was a real important issue to him. And I think it is important to us to get more visibility out there and hopefully get more people attending these meetings because it's an important issue and a lot of people don't think about it.
That's right. Or they don't see it.
Or they don't understand it.
Or they don't see the value of it. That's why it's not here.
Virginia.
So that, in my mind, that would be our major contribution going forward as the public education forums.
Susan, did you have something?
No, not really.
Virginia. I just want to make sure they're heard. Hmm? Any other thoughts? You agree with
that? Well, I feel very strongly the one thing that we could be involved with is the education.
Yeah.
Stakeholders.
Right. And so
that are we hearing some consensus that three sort of projects is acceptable, and that those three potentially would be the case study pollutant flow chart, the swamp, and then this education outreach effort?
Well, that's what my thought is, and I'm hoping that we have more discussion on this. Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
Tom wants to make a comment.
You have people within staff that are carrying on education program at this time. You know, are you going to review whether they're doing a good enough job? I don't think that that's a good way to spend your time. Now, are you looking for new projects to concentrate the program on? I don't know whether that's something you want to do either.
From my standpoint, what this means to me is that that a group of people, three, not more than four, would work with Earl and others to identify materials that would be used for presentations that would be given within structured guidelines, and that we identify groups either on our own and obviously coordination with or in conjunction with county personnel for outreach efforts to actually go out and meet with those groups and put a face to the commission and to the topic. To make presentations, answer questions where we can, and come back with questions that occur so that we can continue to help answer questions. That's what it means to me.
So
we've done it before with the garden clubs and
sure.
The neighborhood associations,
We already have a template from the 1999.
Actually, you have a better template from more current. It's 2013. The same issue was brought forth back then.
Okay.
And so what I tried to do, just give you a little perspective here, people went out. I think Susan, Virginia, Art Stubbs, Patty Page, a group of folks from back then went out and did exactly what Mr. Commissioner Breilander is talking about. So they went out to whoever would be willing to listen, and then they also went out to people who weren't really that interested in listening because they needed to be educated about what this program's all about. Mm-hmm. So I think you have a good opportunity to go out, make sure those people hear what you're saying. When they ask questions, what I proposed to that group at the time, I said, what did they ask? What do they want to know about? And then they wrote them down, or at least I wrote down what they said to me. And I said, did you follow up on their questions? Did you go back to them and answer their questions? No.
Yeah.
So
that's
I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just saying that it would be good to hear what they have to say, present what you need to do, 30 minutes or less, and go to the next group.
Not getting back to the questions is bad. So anyway, that's what my thinking is that might be those first three
so
items.
We have five. We do have a quorum, so we certainly could take action. Mm-hmm. Is there any value in not taking that action until the next scheduled meeting, since this is an interim meeting?
It's a public meeting.
Yeah, it's a public meeting. I think if we have a thought, you know, if we have a consensus, that there's no reason not to put that in the record.
Then as a process, if we were going to move forward with this, then I would suggest that we then flesh each of these out with some clarity. Okay, some additional information. These are these three items.
Okay.
I
agree.
And then we need to circulate that to the existing commission members and find out what people's, I'm going to suggest, first and second or even third choices are, with the understanding that there should be no more than four people with a target of three. Or is it outline a process and circulate that and get that feedback? Because even given that, that couldn't happen until the next scheduled meeting, correct?
Well, first of all, if we decide, oh, we're going to focus on these three and we elect to pass that as an item, that'll appear on the agenda for the next meeting.
Sure.
For discussion. And so anybody who has any other thoughts, it will be free to express them, and we can amend this list as we please. But right now we seem to have a consensus that these first three items are the items that we would like to project ourselves into 2015 with. So that's what I would. That's why I say is if not, I think we should entertain a motion and say we agree that these first three items will be our suspect list for our 2015 activities, and it will appear on the agenda for the next meeting, and we can further expand with those who show up.
Well, I guess if that's the case, then to me, we go to the next meeting to be finalized and to establish the committee members.
That's right. In the meantime, we have an opportunity to have a little time to do what you said, and that's flesh it out better.
Do it any way you want.
That's right. So anyway, is anybody...
guidance is always appreciated.
What I would do, if it was up to me, you basically have most of this done, what you're talking about. The summary, the actions, you've identified potential projects, you made a note of what this should be. I would take the note out. You don't need that anymore. So you have identified 1, 2, and 3, with 8 being tied to 3, and you're done. Those would be the things that you want to get accomplished today,
right,
that you could put into action. You could have a discussion if you want, second it, or whatever you want to do it. But that's what I see right in front of me. That's how I would approach it. There's your thoughts.
So, you agree with that?
I agree with that.
Why don't you make a motion?
What he said. I make a motion that the commission adopt numbers 1, 2, and 3 for the focus for the coming
next regular schedule.
Well, for the completion of 2014 into 2015 operation, and that they be finalized and codified at the November meeting with committee members.
November 5th meeting?
November 5th meeting with members assigned to each of the three teams.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Pass. Okay. Well, that comes with that. We come to
public
any more public comment? Of course there is.
I'm a little disappointed. I had hoped that you would select one of the pieces of substance for your third one, because this group has in the past, everyone has realized how important education is, and they have dwelt upon gone over all the different projects, reviewed them to see how well they were doing. But I see these three projects as an opportunity to make recommendations to the commissioners, because you are most powerful in what you communicate to them. And I wish that you could take one of the substantive issues, like the septic tanks or the plastic bags. One of those, and work together to come up with new recommendations. I know we've treated with it in the past. Why septic tanks are so important is that septic tanks are polluting groundwater. Groundwater in Clark County is completely integrated with surface water. Every stream, every basin, the groundwater is passing into surface water and then back over and over again. They cannot be separated. We have, for Vancouver Lake, the highest single contributor of phosphorus to the lake water. Not the most, tons, but the single greatest source of pollution. Not greatest source, greatest concentration of pollution was groundwater. And it is high because we have so many people on septic tanks. Septic tanks directly relate to surface water. And it has not been something that has been beaten down. We have programs for the last 10 years that are supposed to be addressing them. And we do not have cooperation between the county and the Clark sewering agency. They're not working together on this. There's no communication. It's not working. We need to accelerate our rate of conversion of septic tank to sewering. The city of Vancouver has programs that are doing it at a rate many, many times. Well, we haven't done any. We have, on Sandy Creek alone, we had 10 different subdivisions that were determined by the health department to be failing. The predominance of the septic tanks within those subdivisions was failing. Not a single one of those has been rectified in 30 years. It's been 30 years since those studies have been done, and not a single one has been rectified or converted. We need a program like this. You are navel-gazing.
Yes, I brought up the fact that they went and did the streets. They put a grid down with the county and named the streets, but they have never done this recognition of septic tanks. And where is it? And where are they all together? And get some pattern.
The health department they make money off the septic tank program. And I hate to say it, follow the money and there you will find your corruption.
Tom, I appreciate the point that you're making. And being new to this process and being new to the understanding about how the nexus between septic systems and water quality, I agree with you that there's a concern. My concern is how much influence do we as water commissioners have on this issue, given that septic systems are being managed by another department, not through the Department of Environmental Services and the Clean Water Fund.
They're the sewer.
I would love nothing more than, and it's bothered me since last month, since we've had this discussion about the our hands being somewhat tied on this issue. So if it is something that we can consider soon, possibly as a fourth project, it sounds like there's a lot of hoops that we have to go through and a lot of hoops that have been tried in the past. Ron, I look towards you to give us some guidance as to what you might recommend we try to do on this issue, because it is an important issue. It's like the elephant in the room that nobody wants to deal with.
I would like to please suggest that by adopting number 3, what we're going out with education, we have singularly the opportunity to address items 4 through 8 in those forms.
True.
And so we're not ignoring them. All we're doing is coming back with public comment, which is way more persuasive to the commissioners than somebody's ideas. They want to know, coming back with documentation and public comment is way more persuasive. So by having these forums, we are addressing 4 through 8.
These forums you are going to manage to, we look at the past, and what was the largest group that you addressed? Maybe 160 people? 100 people?
Oh.
20, 10,
30 max.
No, 65. Yeah. I got the numbers.
65? Who was that?
When you went to the retirement community, there was teachers out there. I don't know if you guys were involved in that.
Our total numbers are probably under...
Total numbers
under
are from 175.
Okay, under 200 people.
But that's because, if I may interject here, that's because there wasn't a good targeting of the people in this room, not you guys, but of the Clean Water Commission with respect to people in the community. They went to where they were invited. And you have to be out there and be more aggressive and say, I want to go to you people, and what you need to do, if I was running that show, I would come back and say, who are the people in the community that are movers and shakers? You go to those communities. You go to the business community. You go to the environmental. You go to the associations. You go to where you're invited. And then you go to places, like I said before, where you have maybe somebody else who's there. Get to know them and ask them, can you invite me or this group or parts of this group to talk and get on their agenda? Because we've done that in the past. When we started this program back in 1999, we literally got on the people's agenda who really didn't want to see us. Seriously.
We didn't know who we were.
That's right.
And when we showed up, when that garden club at this point.
So anyways, we went out to the fire department. We went out to a number of places. But the point that I'm getting to...
a community of over 700,000 people. If you're reaching less than 200, that's sick.
Well, I'm just telling you that's what it was at that point in time. So we can improve. Okay. That's what we can.
Yeah, you're right. There's room for improvement.
So, anyways...
If I could make a quick comment before we close out, carry on the point David brought up. We organized a special presentation about septic system abatement for the Clean Water Commission probably a couple years ago. Earl can remind me, but we used to do these larger sort of keynote, for lack of a better term, and advertise. We take a Clean Water Commission meeting, we'd advertise these more broadly. There would be 20 people in the room, but one of those was about septic abatement programs in Clark County, and we brought someone from Clark Public Health, brought someone from the City of Vancouver, and brought someone from Clark Regional Wastewater District. Not proposing we do that again, but we have their presentations, and we have all the materials and our records from those meetings, and if you guys are interested in seeing what they presented, it's good information on existing septic abatement programs in Clark County, how much money people are spending, what activities are actually going on. So Earl can provide that to you if you're interested.
Yes, please.
That was a compelling presentation.
Well, what you'll remember out of that discussion was basically, like I mentioned before, money was the number one issue. There's not enough money to go out and convert all of these septic systems.
Sure.
And so what we tried to do at that point in time, and what we did, we provided a letter of support back to the health department so that they could go get a grant from the Department of Health to make sure that the water quality in the state of Washington is being protected. And they got some money because of our support, but also because of the need. They were able to show a need in the community where there's product, where there are projects that need to be converted, filling septic systems that have to be converted. So there's some that have been done.
Is there sufficient capacity in the sewer system if by some wave of the magic wand you could convert all septics into the regional septic sewer system? Does the capacity currently exist? My impression is no. How long would it take to build it out? At what cost? And how does that translate down? And I'm not trying to use money as an excuse. But it is a factor, because the hookup, the cost for the extension of the system to people that are using septic systems could be
hundreds of thousands of dollars for relatively small geographic areas. It's an excellent point. You know, these are the questions that both the City of Vancouver and Clark Regional, who are our sewer providers, you know, can answer. I've sat down with folks from Clark Regional Wastewater District and reviewed their septic abatement program, and they budget from their capital funds that they collect from ratepayers, and they can put into the system what they can put into the system, $1-3 million a year. They have a well-established program, but it's limited. It's very limited in terms of getting that backbone infrastructure down. And then, you know, the other hurdle that we heard was you can put that backbone infrastructure down, but then everyone you're telling they need to connect owe you $12,000 to $15,000
or more, depending on the road and the distance.
And that's the challenge for them. That's why they do work closely with the health department on some grant programs to give people financial assistance to connect, try and incentivize that. And when you add all that up, it's a tremendous amount.
In the end, life for us is always trade-off, isn't it? So, do we want clean water? Absolutely we do, okay? But the question that always gets asked is, what's it going to cost? And what's the trade-off in between there? So I'm trying to be John Doe's citizen, okay? And I live out in the step system area of Battleground. I'm on septic. My house is 9 years old. They installed a state-of-the-art system. Okay, I've had it inspected regularly. I've had sewer people come out, and they tell me that a well-maintained, well-run septic system is not a problem. That's what they claim. Okay.
Sure. Outside.
So, and then we turn around, and you can't develop in that area because they don't really want more septics going in, but they don't have any capacity in the step system, and then to lay the new sewer lines in, then translate that to a cost. I've been given numbers of $15,000 to $25,000 per piece of property to hook into that particular system. Okay, maybe a perfectly wonderful thing to do. I'm sorry, I'm on my soapbox, but the reality is, you two go around to each of those families and you say, right, you need to write me a check, or we need to put a bond into place, but you're going to be paying for the next 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years at whatever interest rate to do all this, it's going to cost you this much more money. And no matter how much they want clean water, what are they going to say? They're going to use colorful language to tell me what to go do.
And it's an excellent point. I mean, outside wastewater management is a perfectly viable option. To Tom's point, there are known areas with chronic septic issues. They're old. They're sort of been urbanized around their holes, you know, within the sewers. So Clark Regional and the City of Vancouver, you know, go to pretty great lengths to prioritize the areas they're trying to bring sewer to. It's not everybody. And that's, you know, that's where the cost comes in. For those people that are really kind of run-down systems, and it is a water quality problem, who pays for that? And you go back to, you know, the average citizen or ratepayer who said, were you willing to pay more for clean water to get people off the septic who can't afford to get off the septic? And I think you get a pretty wide spectrum of responses.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
You know, with that being said, and take into consideration Tom's comments about groundwater and surface water integrating and that they're one and the same, maybe we need to look at this closer and see if that isn't one of the major polluters.
Well, for stormwater, right. You know, again, we're here, our clean water program manages our stormwater system.
Yeah.
From a stormwater perspective, you can have some influence of septic. I mean, Tom had an excellent point. Septic influences groundwater and stream water quality more than stormwater quality. We have had instances where septic systems fail, and when they fail badly, so that it's, you have wastewater coming out of the surface and it ends up in our stormwater system, but those are fairly isolated cases that are treated as spills, essentially. Less of an impact on our stormwater management system.
So to that point, we may be sort of crossing areas.
Yeah.
If our area of influence is, yes, it's clean water, but it's more stormwater related.
Well, here's the question I would ask back to you guys. What we talked about earlier, when we were talking about bringing in this education campaign and going out to places, you guys would be well advised to become basically sewer system experts when you go out and talk about this topic. Because I can tell you right now, I can go out and talk about this topic, but I'm not going to be an expert on it. I'll probably just say enough to make it sound silly. So what I would have to do is call in one of my friends from one of the other places, whether it's Vancouver, Clark Regional, Health Department, to go out and sit in my hip pocket to tell me what to say to these people. Or they go and they say what they want to say, which is the most correct information. I would not advise you at all to go and talk about the septic system unless you're really, really experienced and know exactly what you're talking about.
Or if there are any of these comments, any of the presentations in my mind, I've spent a large share of my career in sales and sales management. Okay, so I know what it's like to give a sales presentation. And the best sales presentations are the ones that you've learned. They're sometimes perceived as canned, but only canned if they're poorly delivered. But you know everything, you've practiced it, you've planned it, you can present it as if it's your own, but it's scripted.
Okay. And you have the backup material.
Exactly, but that's the point. There's a whole process.
And you know your audience. We've made a big mistake with that garden club.
And you don't go pontificating about things you don't know about. Anyway, there's a whole process.
And in fact, I believe in my heart of hearts that what the commissioners are wanting us to do is talk about the stormwater fees and why they have to go up.
Do we have any other business?
I think that does anybody have a motion for adjournment?
I make a motion for adjournment.
Second. Adjournment.